What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
The hypocrisy layer is probably one of the most common, but it's also one of the ones that does the most damage to people who are on the outside looking in, because people who are considering faith, the people who are like curious about it, and the people who are watching it, our assignment is to be disciples of Christ, right? Okay, so I'm gonna tell you a story. So I have this friend, right? And I'm gonna tell y'all about this conversation we had, because I was literally telling him about God, and my friend is gay, okay? So I was talking to him about faith and Christ and what I believe, and then he stopped me and he said something that like really, I never really got out of my head. He said, you know, I used to work in a church when I was younger, and people would come up to me and telling me that I was sinning, and then they would make it their business to let me know that who I am is an abomination. And them same people, some of them were cheating on their spouses, some of them were drunk, some of them were gossipers. I can't remember everything he said, but he was like, nobody was pulling none of these people to the side. Nobody was calling them out. Nobody was ever making them feel like they didn't belong. But for him, it's like he couldn't walk through the door without somebody reminding him that he was going to hell. And I really sat with that. Because he's right. Like, I think that it is a conversation the church needs to have with itself. Now, I'm not here to debate theology. That is not the point of this episode, okay? The point is this. If the church is going to be a place that calls us out of sin, I do think that the church needs to be consistent in that. Because Romans doesn't say, it doesn't have an asterisk beside scripture. It doesn't say for all who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, except for the people who sin in the ways in which we have decided are acceptable. Like, it says all, every single one of us, the gossiper, the adulterer, the drunk, the liar, the people who hasn't spoken to their sibling in 10 years because of a lack of forgiveness, all of us. And Jesus, the actual Jesus, not the version that some churches have constructed, okay? Jesus was very clear about this in Matthew when he said, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way in which you judge others, you'll be judged. With the measure that you use, it'll be measured to you. Jesus said that, okay? And then there's a woman caught in adultery in John, and the religious leaders, I don't know if y'all remember this book in the Bible, the religious leaders brought her to Jesus ready to stone her because the law said that they could. And Jesus literally knelt down and wrote something in the dirt. And then he stood up and said, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. So I think about my friend, because somebody threw a stone at him, and they did it in the name of God. And now when I talk to him about faith, I'm not just talking to him. I'm talking to him through the wall of what these stones had built, because his exact words in every conversation was, people try to tell me this, this, and that, but they doing this. These people try to tell me this, this, and that, but they doing this. And my whole thing when it comes to Christ is, it's not about what nobody else is doing. It's about my direct relationship with God. But as far as the church, this is what selective judgment does. It doesn't just convict people. It doesn't just bring people closer to God. It actually builds walls. And then we wonder why people on the outside of them. Then outside of the hypocrisy layer, you got the spiritual abuse layer, or I should say power abuse, whatever you really want to call it. Like I said, I want to do a deep dive on that with a professional. But as I mentioned earlier, like, a pastor hit on me when I was younger. And luckily I had parents that I could tell, but that dynamic is a real one that can't be ignored also. But these also are not isolated events, right? I was reading something like after Stephanie's message, or like the article had come out about Stephanie, there was like this, I think it was 5,300. I gotta find the exact number. I know it was more than 5,000. We're talking about more than 5,000 priests and clergy members in the United States have been accused of sexually abusing minors. Okay. And, you know, some things are a pattern, right?
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I feel like prioritizing the institution over the individual is primarily a very important one, because I think that systems are sometimes protected. And then I think that when we extend the altar call and we say, come as you are and come to this safe place and come to be healed, we really got to be honest about the fact that for some people, the church was the place where the wound was inflicted in the first place. And that changes everything about how you can even have a conversation. Now, I know there will be some people that hear this conversation and immediately say, well, you know, people shouldn't be looking at pastors as leaders anyway. And, you know, they should be looking at God. And yes, spiritually speaking, that is true, right? That's true. Our faith should ultimately be rooted in God and not a man. But we also have to be honest about the reality of how people grow in their faith, because there are a lot of people in the church who are babes in Christ. As I said in my interview, there are people who literally are brand new to their walk with God and they don't know scripture deeply yet. Like, they haven't spent years studying the word, or they may not be in the word. They're still learning, right? And they're still figuring it out. So, you know, what it means, they're still figuring out what it means to live a life full of faith. And for many of them, I would say the primary place that they are receiving the word of God is through the church. I know when I was younger, I used to have to go to church. My parents forced me to go to church until I had my own individual relationship with church. It is practiced, right? So you go to church with your parents, but that don't mean that you're intimate with God on your own, right? And so specifically for me, I remember going to church with my family all the time, but my deep, deep, deep rooted relationship with Christ in my own right, like, yeah, I memorized scriptures, but I'm talking about where I leaned on God, where I started to hear from God. That wasn't until my college years. That wasn't until I was older. So prior to that, I wasn't studying the Bible. Like, your parents, okay, we went in Bible study as a child. You go to Bible study on Wednesdays with your parents. Well, not everybody, but I did. And so you would remember scriptures. Like, you had, you know, Father Abraham had many sons. Had many sons had Father Abraham. Okay, like all of these different songs where you're learning, you know, the word of God. But I'm talking about that deep, intimate relationship with him. I would say that prior to that, I was literally only receiving the word of God when I went to church. If my parents ain't make me study it. But for the most part, like, y'all get what I'm trying to say. For a lot of people, literally the pastor is the one that's teaching them the Bible. Okay. And the church is literally where they're hearing the word preach. It's like where that's where you learn about God's character. So when we casually throw out statements like, well, they shouldn't be looking at people anyways, Sometimes that really ignores the reality that many believers are still in their early stages of their spiritual development. And that doesn't mean that they're committing idolatry just because they trusted leadership, right? Because I feel like trust is actually a natural part of discipleship. Like, trust is actually the natural part of discipleship, specifically because when somebody first comes into their faith, right, they often look to spiritual leaders as guides. Like, they assume those leaders are helping them understand God better. That's literally the role of a shepherd, okay? Even the Bible talks about spiritual leaders being shepherds of the flock. And when you think about what a shepherd does, a shepherd guides and protects and cares for the sheep. So when a leader misuses that position or behaves in a way that contradicts the message that they're preaching, like, the impact can be devastating for somebody whose faith is literally still developing. It's easy for somebody who's been walking with God for 20 or 30 years to say, my relationship with God, it does not depend on a person. But for somebody who is still new in their faith, the people representing God in their life play a huge role in shaping how they understand him. Period. Point blank. Okay. That is why I feel like the responsibility of leadership in the church is so serious, because when people step into positions of spiritual authority, they are not just speaking words. They're representing God to people who are still learning who he is. And when that representation becomes distorted, the damage doesn't just affect somebody's trust in a leader. Sometimes it affects their trust in God himself.